There you go, folks. I think there's some guy named James supposed to be here tonight, and I'm real sorry he couldn't make it, but I was also glad that I was asked to do it because I'm Charles and I'm an alcoholic. I have done other things, but we won't get into that. But I have a big fear. I used to have a huge fear. I couldn't do anything in front of anybody unless I had a drink or something to change my mood. And when I came in to AA and I seen that I'd have to get up some, if I stayed in the program and really wanted to stay sober, I would eventually have to do something like this. So it's just a fear that I get a chance to go through. And only with a loving God am I standing here. I prayed to Him that, you know, He wouldn't let me be so nervous and everything, and I'm still waiting on Him, but I know He's coming. So anyway, I am Charles. I am a true alcoholic, according to the book. I was born August 24th, 1949, Douglas, Georgia. And I'm the only child of that marriage. And my mom and daddy got divorced when I was five, you know, which had nothing really to do with me being an alcoholic, I don't believe. But it may have been some of the reason I acted out the way I did. They got divorced when I was five, and my daddy moved to Florida, and I moved up to live with my grandmother. And she was a hard-shell Baptist, so I went to church every Sunday. Wore the same wool suit, it seemed like, 3 or 4 years. And she pinched me every time I moved. So, you know, my idea of God was you got to sit there, you got to sit still, you don't crack a smile, you listen, and you do what you're supposed to do. So my mother got remarried. She had two daughters. My daddy got remarried several more times and had four sons. So I've got a lot of stepsisters half-brothers and half-sisters. So I spent all my childhood and school years spending school year with mother and with daddy at Thanksgiving and Christmas. So every time I got a chance to know somebody, it's time to go back to a different state. So that may have to do something, reason I took the first drink. But I think the reason I took my first drink is because my cousin told me to beat me up, but didn't. So I took the drink and also smoked a cigarette that night. And I wound up taking 2 or 3 drinks, and I remember I got pretty drunk. Matter of fact, I throwed up in his car. And but from then on, he never had to threaten me with no more drinking. So that was just my way. Once I could take a drink, it seemed like to me that I got taller, I got better looking, and I sure could dance better. Man, I could cut it down. And I went on like this, you know, drinking. And finally in high school, there's no way I could ask a girl for a date, I mean, because either they was too pretty, they had too much money, or I just wasn't good enough to ask nobody out, except for the women that hung around the pool room. And I drank enough beer, I could ask them out. And I believe most of them said no. So I didn't have too many relationships. Matter of fact, I had zero. Until I met this one girl. And she was in ninth grade, and I was a senior in high school. Somehow we met, and she told me when I was graduating, which by that time I was going to school drunk, falling asleep on my typewriter, and waking up and had slobber all down in the ribbon, you know, and looking around, not knowing a soul. And I didn't think nothing about it. It was just I'd get up and walk out. But I passed the 12th grade, and I passed all of them. I don't know how, but I did. But anyway, I met this girl, and she told me she was pregnant, And you know, wanting to do the right thing, being from a Harts Hill Baptist Church, I thought I was just supposed to get married. So I had to wait till I turned 18, and all she had to do was get permission from her parent. And she got that, and I turned 18 at midnight. The midnight that I turned 18 is when we got married. I don't know why I couldn't wait till the next day, but that's more of my stupid thinking. But anyway, I was a married man, and I was working at the mental institution in Nashville, Georgia. I fit right in. I got a job I should have stayed with, but no, I couldn't. They let me go too many times. But anyway, we moved to Florida. My daddy bought me a service station. And I kept on drinking. She liked to drink, but she didn't drink it every day. I drank it every day. But it was only beer. Because that liquor just made me sick, folks. So I just couldn't drink it like some people, like my daddy. My daddy, he was an alcoholic. No, even though he never said he was, I can tell by the book that he was classified as a real alcoholic. And you know, he went on to be married four times and got children everywhere. So I was never going to be like that. I had married this girl, you know, and so she had a baby. I worked at a service station, drove a tow truck. What else could you ask? And she found out that she wasn't pregnant. And somehow I had met a girl at the service station that I had to go take her to a house. I put a set of tires on her car. And she was talking about going through a divorce. And I said, well, you know, if you want to talk about it, if you'll stop and let me get a six-pack, we'll talk. Well, on the fifth beer, I was engaged to her. It may have been the whole six-pack. I don't know. But here I am married. The girl's not pregnant, so I'm freed up from having to do the right thing. And so I get engaged to her. Still married, you know. I didn't have enough guts to tell the girl that I found somebody else, that we'd made a mistake. So I give a boy $90 to go down and tell her, to go out of my house and tell her that I just didn't love her no more. And that, you know, she needs to get on the bus and get on back to Millersville with her family. Because, well, she did. And I think what she did, she went off with the fellow with the $90. So that worked out pretty good. And anyway, divorce, you know, it got filed and all that. And in the meantime, I had met somebody that I went to school with, and I met her drunk, and I could talk to her. I liked her back in school, but I was scared of her. And so I'm engaged to this girl. I ain't got divorced from the other one and started dating this one that I met in the bar. And, you know, I didn't know I was in a hell of a shape. I mean, I just thought I was doing the right thing. So anyway, I decided to marry the girl that I met in the bar and just not tell the other girl I was engaged to, just try to forget about it. Well, that didn't work. She come around the service station, 057 Fords, skinning tires and everything. Yeah, she was mad. But anyway, she left, and I got divorced. And I thought, thank God I'm out of this. Got divorced on a Thursday in Lakeland, Florida. Friday, the very next day, I was up in Cleveland, Georgia, getting married again. But, you know, this time the girl was pregnant. So. Anyway, and you know, the draft was coming down by them days, too. This was rocking on about 67, 68, and the draft was rocking on, and I had gotten my draft notice, and I was scared to go to Vietnam, to tell you the truth. I was just plain scared. And my daddy knew the Air Force recruiter real well. He took care of the man's car and everything. And back then, they had some kind of competition, you know, to get so many in the Air Force and the Marines and all that. So he told me if I joined the Air Force that he could backdate the papers and me go in for 4 years instead of 2 years, but not have to worry about going to Vietnam. I jumped on that. 9 months later, I'm in Phan Rang, Vietnam. And, talking about scared, Jesus. I didn't mind leaving a woman. I was scared to fly over, I'll tell you the truth. But the airlines, they had real good security, so they made sure that I was pretty wasted the time I landed over there. But I'd been in that country 20 minutes. I never had heard of any other kind of thing. I've heard this stuff that these people out in California did, one with the long hair and all that, smoking that grass and all that stuff. We're never going to do that. I was in country 20 minutes. I was high as a kite. Gosh. And that changed. I mean, you know, I didn't drink near as much. And I started drinking liquor over there, too. It was cheap. And I decided liquor was real good. Matter of fact, I didn't like beer no more. It wasn't quick enough. Only thing beer got to be to me was just something I could drink real fast and get the shakes off so I could figure out a way to get some liquor. So I stayed over there, and I got a hardship discharge over there from over there to come home for 2 weeks to try to get my stuff at home straightened out. Seemed like the girl I was married to, I'll never call her my wife, none of them, because I never treated none of them like a wife. I didn't know how to treat nobody like a wife. I never had an example, and they don't come with manuals. So anyway, I did the best I could, I thought. I didn't know I was completely insane. And I came back, and I had more problems than I went over with as far as alcohol goes. Y'all know what I'm talking about. It's no use bringing it up. when I came back, she had a little boy, and all these hippie women coming around, all these love beads and all this stuff, make love, not war. I agreed with them. And I still stay drunk all the time. And it worked every day. And sometimes I'd eat a mule frackle before I went to work, just so I'd get high. Now, what kind of man would say, yeah, I think I will eat one of them mule tranquilizers to get a little buzz? What would it do to him? Walk around, feel like you're about that high. So, it's hard to wait on customers when you feel that high. I remember one time, of course, this on pepper, this on acid, you can say that in here. I'm blowing up a woman's tire fire, and I just forgot what I was doing, I guess. My ear rang for 4 days, man, that tire just blew. Pow! She cussed me for everything I was worth. Told my daddy I need to go home. I wasn't feeling too good. But anyway, I'm going on this kind of lifestyle. I'm thinking I'm doing what everybody else is doing, because I did not know nothing else to do. I know people will say, man, you're stupid, or you're wrong, or I say, well, you know, I'm just having a good time. I'm not hurting nobody, and really in my heart, I didn't think I was. But, we had a divorce and all these hippest girls around, so I found another one of them, wanted to make love, not war. And I got engaged to her, told her I'd marry her, so I got a divorce. And that's what I did. I got a divorce and married her, child support and all that. I got to see my son when I was supposed to. And I even turned him on to his first drink when he was a baby. thought that was cool. And as a result, he's going back to prison again for about four times. He's 40-something years old. I don't think he's been free but 3 years of his life. And I hope and pray it wasn't on kind of that, but it sure didn't help him out or not. But anyway, I got a divorce from that girl, and I was free at last. And so we got married about 3 weeks later, and I had two beautiful girls. Got a good job with Georgia Power. The people that I was staying at, they knew noticed I was having a lot of traffic where I lived at, and people was coming up to buy stuff from me, marijuana alcohol. And they told me, they knew I was selling something. So I just quit drinking, quit selling it, started going to church. I would hit a speed every now and then because I played softball for church, and I had to have some, had to be the best I could. I wanted to win first place. So I did that, and they come to bust me, and I was straightened up, and everything was going fine. I was standing right behind a guy at the homecoming meal. And he asked me about time when I got a job back with the state hospital. I worked there four different times. And each time that I left, it was for worse reasons. We had two beautiful girls. And the guy I was standing behind, he asked me, shook my hand, said, "Where are you working at?" I said, "I'm at the state hospital." I said, "Where you work at?" He said, "Georgia Power." I said, "Man, I sure love to work there." Well, less than 2 weeks later, I was working at Georgia Power. I had finally arrived, man. I had a wife, two beautiful girls, a good job at Georgia Power. And I would still drink every now and then, but it was nothing like it was, because I was getting promotion. Well, right after promotion, I started off sweeping the floors, and I wound up boiler turbine operator in the biggest power plant in the state of Georgia. And I was doing good. But by the time I got to be the boiler turbine operator, it was pretty evident that the liquor had took over. I had started drinking red liquor, and the boy told me I got too mean drinking that, so I started drinking vodka. And that don't make you mean. That's what he told me. But evidently, the law didn't think that. But, I stayed there 10 years. It was on a New Year's Eve night. I just could not call it. I could not go to work. I was too drunk. Had to be there at 11. So I called in, and they knew I was drunk. I'd been calling in. So what I did, I checked myself into Charter Lake. I'd seen a commercial where they played volleyball and everybody was laughing, So I knew it was something to do with alcohol. I wanted to get straightened out and, do the right thing. So I went up there and I stayed 45 days, I think, and I wasn't drinking, and I was just happy. I felt good. And, they told me all about going to the meetings and getting a big book and getting a sponsor and all that. I got a big book and I got a sponsor. But I quit going to meetings and I never called a sponsor. And I don't know where the big book is, but, it could be the second edition. Maybe worth something. It never was worth anything to me. And so Georgia Power told me that they were glad to have me back. I went straight for 9 months. I was clean for 9 months. I still didn't know how to live. I worked all the old time I could. And I'd come home, I'd sit down and just... I didn't even want to throw my daughter, to tell you the truth. I was just too tired or whatever. And it wasn't long. 9 months later, I had to go back to Charter Lake. And when I come out, I didn't get it. I don't know where I was when they wrote, "Rarely have we seen a person fail." Well, actually, I didn't know why I failed at. I mean, I did not know that alcohol could really control you like that, and the other stuff that I added on to it. I mean, I knew I always wanted to drink, but I didn't know it was my body and my mind telling me you got to have a drink. I mean, it wasn't something that I actually wanted. It seemed like it was something I just actually had to have. And to be able to do anything, to be able to talk to you or anything. So when I come out of Georgia Power this time, out of Charter Lake this time, they told me just one more chance, and that was it. So you can imagine what happened. Well, I had that one more chance, and they agreed just to let me resign. And they gave me my three weeks vacation pay, and that was it. I'm in an apartment. My wife and kids had done left me about 6 months before, and I met an old girlfriend that I had down in Florida. I had her back up in Georgia with me, and so I didn't know what to do. I had a house full of furniture and said, what people would give me. My ex-wife, she pretty well cleaned me out. Bank account, clothes, I mean, everything. So anyway, I ordered the pizza, and the pizza guy come up there and delivered the pizza. And I told him, I said, you know, anybody give me $150 for everything in this house? He said, are you lying? My washer, dryer, color TV. Now I say, well, you know about that, don't you, Harry? Bless your heart. But he said, yeah, man. He said he was in the Air Force at Warner Robins. He's just starting off with a new family. He gave me $150 and helped me buy one of these little small U-Haul trucks. And I'm going back to Florida. That's what I do. I get in trouble in Georgia, going back to Florida. I get in trouble down there, I'm right back to Georgia. I know that road like the back of my hand. But I went on to Lake in Florida, and of course I married this girl. She was my fourth wife, and I figured, well, this would be it. She knows I drank all the time. Matter of fact, she drank more than I did. And she was a mean woman. Woman actually shot me and stabbed me. I guess she was doing what she thought was right too. But I didn't have no way to go when I got to Florida, so I decided to drive that U-Haul truck for a while. And I drove for about 3 weeks before I turned it back in. I mean, man, got to have a way to go, it seemed to me. But I started driving Pinky Dinky ice cream truck. And, you know, on the application, the man won't know what I've been doing. And I've been working for Georgia Power 10 years. And mental institute, he said, well, why'd you leave Georgia Power? I just want to drive Pinky Dinky ice cream truck, man. So what I did, I wasn't doing too good with ice cream, so I just, I could get beer for $1.99 a six-pack. I'd load that thing up with beer and take it down to Bartow, especially on Sunday. You couldn't buy beer down there, and sell it for $1 in a can, and I could make enough money to buy me some liquor. Good day. Everybody happy. But one day the man said he thought he got a wolf alcohol on me. I thought, no, don't know how you did that. But anyway, I didn't drive for Pinky Dinky much longer. But anyway, I was hearing some people. I left Pinky Dinky, got a job at another power plant, making about $7 an hour when I should have been making $25. I had a resentment about that. I have no gratitude, but I got a job. I'm back in a power plant. I can go my way up. But I had to have a resentment about it. I knew more than these other people, and I'm only getting $7 an hour. And they was building a power plant in Palatka, and I could hear them talking about it. I was shaking too bad to talk to anybody, and All I wanted to do, they said I was the best worker they ever had because I could not stay still, because if you started coming close to me, I was going to wipe a motor or something off. I didn't want you to smell my breath. Paranoid. Go to work like that every day. Every day. And by the time I get off, I'd be shaking so bad I couldn't hardly wait to get in my car. I'd be about to throw up and drink that hot vodka and been sitting up on that seat. Now, you know I didn't want that, but I had to have it. But anyway, Mike, get on down here now. I heard them holler at the phone number, and I memorized the first three numbers. And next time I heard it, I wrote it down. And I called a man, and I told him what my qualification was in a power plant. And this was a brand new one. And it was a co-op type deal in Palatka, Florida. He said, "Well, man, we should like to have you." He said, "Can you come up here for an interview?" And man, my brain thought so fast. I said, "No, there ain't no way I can get off for an interview, because I knew if I drove to Palatka, Florida to talk to this man, I'd be drunk before I got there." And so it was no use in trying to lie about it. Well, I did lie about it. I told him I couldn't get off from my job to go over there and talk to him. But I happened to remember that I knew somebody that worked up there, James Peacock. And I said, "I know James Peacock." And I said, "Ask him about me. He knows me." Hell, James don't know me from nobody. Just tell him I'm from Georgia Power. Man hired me on the telephone. Well, the man that hired me, he died in 3 months. Alcohol poison, liver just shot. So I could have rapped him and been all right. He was shaking probably as bad as I was. But I got that job, and things rocked on good. Got a house, we have most of the land. Got custody of both my daughters. And I just got to the drink too much, and I got involved with the politics there at the power plant. And again, it was about money. And so I sold everything in Palatka, including two pickup trucks, for $250. And I got a ride out of there, and went right back to Florida. And by this time, my feet were swelling real bad. I had a problem with my liver, but I just thought I stood on my feet too much. And my daddy was going to give me my job back, but I knew I couldn't work for daddy. I couldn't stay sober long enough. And so I finally just came back to Milledgeville. I stayed next to Mama. Every time a car pulled up, Mama won't know who that, you know. And finally got a divorce from this girl. And I'd gone down to it. By this time, I'm really hitting big time bottom. And I would go make these shady deals and you know, buying this marijuana alcohol that growed on a cocoa bush. I'd buying that stuff. And a guy shot me. Went in here and out here. And I was so scared and so high, I was scared to go to the hospital. So I went to Kroger's. They got me two of them full befores and some of that antibiotic ointment and some tape. And I put it on each side and went right back down there. By this time, I thought that I was pretty well insane. Jails. I ain't going to mention them. Prison. Plus, my mama had me committed to the mental institution twice. Homeless out in New Orleans. Lived under State 10 for a pretty good while. And you know, I had a piece of cardboard, and some guy always brought something out of dumps for a eat, and there was a bag lady there that always made sure that I had a little liter bottle full of liquor. She got out on Bourbon Street, she put vodka and she put bourbon and water, scotch and whatever they do with that stuff, and gin and beer and wine, and have it there for me. And I felt so good. I said, "You know, life just ain't that bad. I got this drink and I've got my cardboard and the good people up under this." I had lowered myself to really believe it wasn't that bad. going down Bourbon Street in the back streets, and somebody lay a quart of beer down and had that much in it. Hell, it could have been a pee. I don't know. I drank it anyway. So I'm a real alcoholic. And the parole officer was going to give me a urine test. I done spent some time in prison. And DUI's a bucket. I mean, I had DUIs. I don't even want to talk about it. That's bad enough stuff. Anyway. But they run me to Atlanta, Georgia, a place that I would never, never live, because this place, everybody just killed everybody. I could hear the news from Milledgeville, and all you hear was somebody got murdered here. I thought if you come up here, you wasn't going to live long. I wasn't scared of the bridge and the people shooting me down there, these people up here. But this is the only place I could go. This is the only place that the VA would take me again, or take me. So I'm up here, and they put me in a halfway house. And I had to get a sponsor, and I had to call him and all that stuff. And go to meetings, get a sheet signed. I loved every minute of it. I got 2 years and something, and I was happy, joyous, and free. My daughters would talk to me again. When I was in prison, I had one daughter wouldn't even talk to me. And today, she just picks up the phone and calls me. You know, it's a beautiful relationship with both my daughters. And my mother, we go down to see her. She's in a nursing home now. But me and Elizabeth buys her clothes, and she's the best dressed lady in the nursing home. She got beads, and I mean, she's happier now than I've ever seen her. And I call her every day. And just because of this program right here, when I became willing to really look at that, but I got to tell you, I did go back out. I got lonely, and I picked up a girl, and with one thing on my mind, and she had a bottle of whiskey. I ain't thought about no sponsor. I ain't thought about no program. I ain't thought about nothing. It was that girl, and she had whiskey, and I knew if I drank some of that whiskey, I could pretty well talk to her. I did. I think about 2 days later, I let her out in QT. She was raising hell. I'm drinking liquor. And I let her out, went and wrecked my car, totaled my car. Come down there, and the police said, you've been drinking? And then, honestly, I remember something about it. I'm working an honest program, drunk in hell. And I told him, I said, yeah, I've been drinking. He said, you're on parole, probation? I said, yes, sir. I mean, the only thing you can worry about then is somebody getting you some white T-shirts and white socks and some honey bun money. And the guy took me home, did not give me a DUI, took me home. When I wrecked the car, he put me in the hospital for 22 days because my last drink was June the 27th, 2007. And my last drink was rubbing alcohol. And I damn near died from it. But God stayed right with me through all this stuff. I can see it. Now I can. And He did all this and stayed right with me just so I can be right here tonight. Because I get around y'all folks, I get happy, man. If I leave here tonight, it's just peace. You know, this is something I never would do because I know every one of y'all. And y'all know me. They wrote a book about us. And it's just a love that I've never felt. Of course, I had to start liking myself. And I did. Because I found out I'm a child of God. I am no better and no worse than anybody who walks the face of this earth. And that love is something I've never experienced. And it's a good feeling. It's great. And, you know, I've got a companion, a girlfriend, that she cares about me. I don't care how much I swell up and how much I got to get drained. I don't have to hide my belly. And I get a rash on my legs. I don't have to. She just likes me for who I am. And by God, that means a lot. And it's all because I became willing to listen to y'all. And at first, when y'all seen how happy y'all was, I just couldn't. How can you be not drinking and happy. As happy as I was drinking. I was one happy buddy. Stack of divorce papers out high. And I mean, it's just, got a certificate from the state of prison. I get along well with people in prison. Got a certificate. And what wall am I going to put that on? And I done good in board games. But anyway, I'm proud of them tickets. I earned them, and I earned that seat, and I'm glad y'all earned y'all's, and I love y'all very much, and thanks for putting up with me. And I'm sorry, Gene.
Thank you, Charles. Glad you made it, buddy. Seventh, traditionary AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Donations support the group and AA its own. And would anybody really want to hand out the chips tonight? Sounds great. Hey, Katie.
Anybody
need to watch it coming in, like 20 away a life? 24 hours? Anybody got 30 days? Anybody got 90 days? About 6 months?
9 months? Any years? Okay.
Thank you. Good job. Do we have any AA-related announcements?
Yeah, I'm
Tim. Oh, Tim. Carrie J. Tomorrow, next Monday night, 8 o'clock. And I'd like to remind everybody that anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. For those who will, please join us in the Lord's Prayer.